Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 35. I am super excited to welcome to the show today Marcus Anderson, a visionary who asks, why not change the world? Marcus is a former American football safety with the NFL, drafted by the Green Bay Packers in 2002. Marcus played for 5 seasons before his focus transitioned to contributing to sustainability in human, social, environmental, and economic frameworks. Marcus has a bachelor's from UCLA in American Literature and a master's of education in adult learning and global change from Linköping University in Sweden. Following his dream to do more, Marcus created the World Education Foundation. Through this platform, work is focused to create a new dynamic of sustainable growth in the areas of education, health, infrastructure, and sport.
Yeah, how are you doing, Lori? How is everything?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. No complaints.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, thank you for actually your interest and, you know, wanting to learn more and know more about the World Education Foundation.
Well, certainly you have an impressive organization with a number of initiatives I am looking forward to delving into in just a moment. But Marcus, you've gone from football to philanthropy, and I'd love for us to roll the clock back just a little bit more. Share with us a story of how it is you once saw the future.
Before you decided to, you know, begin even football, what was it that back in high school, if we looked at your high school yearbook, what would we see them saying, you know, most likely to do what? What was it that you saw the future as being back then?
You know, actually growing up, I was always kind of engaged with academics as well as sports. You know, I think that was a big focus in our family. My sister was kind of my hero growing up, still is to today. And she really had a particular way of looking at studying and actually just giving her all. So, you know, even though I didn't know the details of what I'd do in the future, I knew whatever that I would be involved in, you know, I would just really want to put my 100% in, actually give my best and ultimately work harder than anybody that was surrounding me, you know, doing the same things. So it was really a focus in high school to really keep my ideas as broad as possible, but then also be able to structure a lifestyle where I knew that hard work, determination, focus could get me really positive results. And I really saw that firsthand through my sister. She ended up winning a gold medal in the Olympics, as well as being a biochemist major at UCLA. And that really kind of set the foundation from when I was in high school to really achieve. And I knew that if I put in the work, then I could ultimately achieve my goals.
That is unbelievable. And as much research as I've done at this point, Marquise, I can't believe I didn't know anything about your sister whatsoever. That's an impressive story. And I love that she was your focal point and your hero throughout life. That's inspiring and wonderful to hear that. So you knew that you would be, you know, in the academic space, even though there was sports involved. But what was it that began the travels? What were some of the first steps that you took once you finished school and decided it was time to work for yourself and build out a business?
Yeah, so I really had the opportunity for my first international travel when I was at UCLA with Athletes in Action. But before that, just playing sports at a really high level, whether it be football, basketball, running track, I was able to involve myself and actually travel a lot around the United States. And I remember in high school that we went to Pennsylvania, we went to Idaho, we went to New York, we went to Philadelphia, we went to all these different places to run track. I went down to Florida, North Carolina to actually play football and basketball. So, like, I always had a desire and kind of an inclination to travel. But my first international travel was with an organization called Athletes in Action that I was involved with at UCLA. And ultimately, we went across borders. Our first trip was actually to Lagos, Nigeria. And then after that, we actually went to Cote d'Ivoire, which is the Ivory Coast. And during that 3.5 week period, we were able to actually deliver the game of American football as well as do some very practical visual work with the students that we were actually working with. So ultimately, you know, that was when the travels actually came about, and that's when I actually took flight, and I think that's when the seed was actually planted for the rest of my travels. You know, when I got off the plane, it was really the most beautiful sunset that I had ever seen. And I think at that time, you know, I was looking at the surroundings and I just saw two gentlemen actually walking down the street holding hands and smiling. And it put everything into perspective for me. It really opened up my eyes that the world is a big place, but then also it's a very small place. And I wanted to actually be able to utilize my time and my talents and actually to create better living situations and better human experiences for people like that.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. What did you feel the most difficult part when that moment hit you after the sunrise and so forth? What did you feel was the most difficult steps that you had to take at that point to begin building out the foundation?
Yeah, well, the thing was is that, you know, I was in university and I was doing very well, you know, playing at UCLA. So I knew that that was kind of the first and foremost focus that I should have. And I really loved American football. I just loved playing. I loved the competition. I loved the way that it had you exert your mind as well as your body. And it was just like a very comprehensive type of activity for me. But, you know, the biggest challenge, you know, at that time was that I was so focused on playing football and actually achieving my goals there that I couldn't really work through creating, you know, anything outside of that. I knew once I could actually achieve the goals and make it to the NFL and actually succeed in the NFL, you know, maybe I could start looking at it from there. So I think the biggest challenge was just the timing effort was not right at the time.
That's interesting. I think that's the first time I've heard that it was more timing than anything else that was really, you know, one of the difficult pieces. And that's an important piece for a lot of entrepreneurs to hear, because sometimes your journey doesn't necessarily meet up with the time frame that you were initially thinking. And you have to allow it to unfold in the manner that it's going to be able to unfold when it's best for you. So I think that's a great piece, Marquise. Thank you.
You know, I mean, as an entrepreneur, you know, it's really that timing piece is so important, you know, because we're always, you know, no matter what kind of trials or tribulations or scenarios we find ourselves in, we're always learning something. We're always taking something from something in order to actually create something. And I think all of the lessons that I learned while I was actually playing football were actually helped me to manifest what I wanted to do with the We Foundation. So it was kind of a grooming process that I didn't know that was actually happening at the time, but it was underway. Things were in motion. And then finally, when it was time to manifest the We Foundation, I had those tools already in my shed.
Certainly. Now, tell me a little bit about the We Foundation initiatives that you have right now. I know that you have the American Football, you know, and so tell us a little bit about what the We Foundation is and how it's going about implementing the initiatives that you have going on at the moment.
Yeah, so the World Education Foundation is a California-based nonprofit organization, 501c3. But we really consider ourselves to be a solution-based organization where we're really trying to bridge the gap between academic knowledge and implementation. You know, what I've been working really hard to overcome is that sometimes professors, PhDs, even students come up with these most brilliant solutions to some of the world's most pressing problems, but that information sometimes stays in the academic space. So how do we harness that knowledge that has been built across borders throughout these knowledge specific and mobilize that knowledge in order to approach some solutions in some of the most vulnerable communities around the world? And, you know, the first project that the World Education Foundation actually got involved with was a malaria project. And it came kind of serendipitously while I was traveling through South America. And I was having a conversation in a shared cab with a Swiss OBGYN, and she started talking about health initiatives, and she put me in contact with a gentleman who was doing a food production program in the DR Congo. And from there, I asked him, you know, what the most pressing issues were, and malaria actually came up. So I went back to my alma mater at UCLA, and I hired a couple of interns from the School of Public Affairs, and we came up with a program after we cross-referenced with the WHO to actually help rural farmers transport a quinine bark. Now, quinine is the same properties that are in tonic water, and then another reference is that the Brits actually drank gin and tonics when they were occupying India in order to thwart off the malaria virus. So having a structure to where we could actually help create livelihoods through this malaria project was really our first approach to actually creating something substantial in the development world. Since 2011, we've been able to actually create about 110 jobs and about 400,000 treatments for malaria. And the way that I saw this program manifest itself, I really liked the way that it had an input that could ultimately create new livelihoods, businesses, structures, but then also the output was very socially intact. It actually directly solved a problem that was going on in this community, and there was opportunity to scale up that actual initiative. And from there, that actually got me interested, you know, in working around the east of Africa, seeing exactly what their technology capacity was, seeing what type of research that they have done in different areas and different industries. And the next project that we actually came across was a biodiesel project. And that is surfaced around, and I'm not saying that biodiesel should be scaled up, but for this particular part of the east of the Congo, it made sense because all of their fossil diesels were actually coming from the Middle East, being dropped off in Mombasa, Kenya, and then having to be overland about 1,500 kilometers into the east of the DR Congo. So, you know, from that, if there was an opportunity to just supply some technical knowledge as well as some training knowledge, then they could actually have the capacity to build out their cash crops for energy, which ultimately would help them approach some health issues and education issues, as well as build out their infrastructure, and at the same time create livelihoods through that. That was the approach that we really were looking at.
That is outstanding. I love the timeline there of how the project came about and how it is you developed your ideas as you were moving through. I love that. Your initial idea, if we can just rewind just a bit back to malaria and the fact that you were touching base with the Swiss OB, how did that conversation come about? How did you meet her, and what sparked that conversation in and of itself?
Yeah, you know, it was quite serendipitous. You know, I actually met her at a conference that I was attending, an education conference in Argentina. So, you know, after I left the league, I actually really was looking to see what the next couple of years would actually look like. And I had an opportunity while I was actually still playing in the league, when I was with the Denver Broncos, to meet my mentor, who was in the aviation business out of the Netherlands. And after every day after work, I would go by this hangar, and he was working on a project there to actually convert a large passenger plane into a cargo plane. And just the stories that he was able to supply actually gave me the opportunity and the desire to venture out into the world and actually look at ways that I could give back. And during this time of traveling throughout Europe, I traveled for 10 months out of Europe, in Europe. And during that time, I wanted to articulate. So I was introduced to a lot of people in the sustainable development space, the renewable energy space. I took a couple of courses at TU Delft in the Netherlands, was meeting with professors and research and development organizations like TNO. And from this, I really wanted to be able to articulate all of these things that I wanted to bring into the world. So I went back and I actually got my master's in adult learning and global change out of Sweden, and from Linköping University. And while I was actually writing my thesis, I went to South America really just to be with the people, really to get firsthand knowledge on what it was like to be in developing countries. And, you know, one of the countries that I went through was Argentina, and I was going to a conference there, and I met this Swiss OBGYN in a shared cab, and I said, you know what, I'm really looking at starting this organization called the We Foundation. You know, health is going to be particularly our main focus for the first year or two, and I really would like to know, you know, what your thoughts are on health initiatives. And, you know, she put me in contact with this gentleman who was doing a food production program in the DR Congo at the time. And, you know, the rest was kind of history from there. But it was those serendipitous moments where that light bulb goes on and says, you know what, this person actually resonates the same type of, you know, frequency that I am. And she's focused on the same things that I am. So I recognize that as an entrepreneur and say, you know what, this is an opportunity to actually get involved.
That's awesome. And for the audience to hear is that those moments come about sometimes when you're not expecting it. And, you know, if you're just open and paying attention to the opportunities that could be available, sometimes they fall in your lap. So I just wanted to kind of pull that out. I thought that was really interesting. Marquise, what do you feel was the key to your success and why?
You know, I really think it was, for one, confidence, and really the lack of embarrassment of failing. You know, I think with any entrepreneur, you have to be able to dive in, and you have to dive in maybe sometimes without having all of the details. But in the process, you will learn what you can, what you need, and what you want to do. I think we can all set goals, you know, as entrepreneurs to really look at what are the things and the objectives that we want to accomplish, but you really don't know exactly what the end product will look like until you get there and you arrive. And even when you arrive there, it might look totally different from what you manifested it to be, become. And I think that's where entrepreneurs actually can gain the most value, is just not being afraid to fail. You know, everything is an iteration. You know, even when we get to the desired outcome, there's still something to learn through the process. And not only that, but how do we iterate it to get better? And how do we actually move with the changing tides of being an entrepreneur? So, you know, even if we bring something into this world, it doesn't necessarily mean that in 6 months it's going to be the same solution that's needed. So being able to make mistake after mistake and come back, learn from your mistakes, you know, use that wisdom and that experience and that knowledge to actually create something better in the future.
What do you feel prospective entrepreneurs should really take into consideration and really think through prior to embarking on any sort of entrepreneurial journey, be it any industry? What do you feel would be one of the most important things they should think through?
I really think is the why, you know, and you know, a lot of us have ideas, and a lot of us want to create, you know, different type of opportunities for ourselves and others. But I really think that, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to understand why you're doing something. And it can't be a motive of just, I'm trying to make money. You know, you have to be an impact where your time is calculated, you know, so spending time on one type of solution, you're foregoing figuring out something else, you know, so if you know why and you have a passion, you know, for what you're doing, then I think that you'll figure it out on how to actually accomplish and actually come to a solution for that specific problem. I think without the why, you actually ultimately run into, you know, a multiple, you know, obstacles that will kind of hinder you from actually ever figuring it out. Or you might not have a map on actually what the outcome should be. So really identifying what it is that you want to accomplish, why do you want to accomplish that, and then really just focus on who you're actually accomplishing it for. So my main thing, actually, when I was looking through a lot of the projects, it always started with the people. You know, when I actually voyaged through a lot of these different communities, I really took time to harness the ancient wisdom that was already on the ground. And that takes a lot of time. You know, that takes trust that is built from the community. That takes a narrative to be shared, you know, from the community that they're going to, you know, feel, comfortable with actually telling you the real situation of what's going on. So the people were always kind of my focus, and how and what and why I was doing always surfaced around the people.
What do you feel would be one of the bigger things to caution an entrepreneur? You know, what do you feel is one of the bigger mistakes that they tend to make, or that you've seen over time as someone is building out a business, or even one of the bigger mistakes that you felt you were making when building out the We Foundation? What do you feel is one of those bigger things to caution entrepreneurs against?
Yeah, I think it's really knowing that you may not know everything, you know, and I think as we go into entrepreneurship, we think that, oh, yeah, the world should just work like this because we say so, you know, and I think stepping out of the realm of thinking that the world revolves around our ideas and really starting to look at what is actually ready to come into the world, you know, what can the populations in either a community regionally or even globally, what can be absorbed right now? You know, of course, we want to bring peace into the world, you know, but there are certain subsequent things that need to happen, you know, whether it be in currencies, whether it be in education, whether it be in energy solutions that need to happen before we can get to that goal. So kind of knowing that there's a process in getting to our goals is one of the biggest things that I could say that an entrepreneur needs to really understand. And then after that, it's really just identifying that there is a problem, you know, and what that problem is. And if there are other people that are actually working on that problem. So what I found, like, you know, a lot of organizations sometimes in the development space, they'll put a lot of resources into solving the same problem that somebody else may be working on. You know, so really identifying, you know, who else is in this space, who was working, and instead of actually putting more resources or redundant resources into figuring out that solution, how about a collaboration to where we can actually share knowledge, we can actually work together, and we can say, this is what we've been working on, these are some of our results, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel every time that a solution actually needs to be approached. So I really think that it's about timing, you know, and knowing when to actually engage in bringing something into the world. And I think it's also about knowing that there may be other information or other groups or organizations that you can particularly collaborate with that will save you a lot of time and headache at some times, you know, to creating your goals.
Certainly. Knowing there's a process and knowing that you should be reaching out and networking so that you can go ahead and connect with the right people so that you know what's going on, you know, in that space of that field, whatever it may be across the board, so that you're not, like you said, reinventing the wheel. Excellent. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for innovative companies to solve the pain in an industry that they may not have thought of. So, Marquise, we would love to help you. If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all across the We Foundation, you know, regardless of which initiative you might choose, what would you change and why?
Well, I would change, you know, just I think one of the biggest things for the We Foundation is really being able to identify good opportunities. You know, it's one thing for an organization to understand what is actually going on in the world, but it's also understanding what the capacities that they have to give in order to approach certain solutions. So really identifying the problems, you know, whether it's in a local community in Africa or in the Middle East, it's really about finding those aspects of capacity that the We Foundation currently has, and how do we maximize that in order to solve problems. So really, I think it's just getting an opportunity to have a broad spectrum of people that are involved with the We Foundation in order to approach different projects that may have a specific solution in order to actually come to a resolvable program. And, you know, through that, it's just really getting back to a word that you used before is networking, but also activating your network. So it's one thing to have a network, but it's really activating that network in order to create these flash teams that can solve problems, not only in their local or regional aspects, but on a global basis.
Certainly, I will certainly pull that out of their thing to network and to touch base and to have those mentors that you may be able to work with here and there, but to actually activate the network, to get involved with any sort of initiative can be extremely difficult. Marquise, what would you suggest would be, you know, how do you go about activating your network?
You know, it's really about identifying who can do what, you know, and I think it's really about being open. As an entrepreneur, you want to, you know, be open to a lot of different ideas because, you know, someone might not be directly resonant with what you do, but there may be bits and pieces of what they say, and it could be one sentence, it could be one word. So I think really it's about being open to new opportunities, being open to new conversations, being open to new experiences, being willing to adventure and to kind of push your limits, knowing that there may be a either a pot of gold, you know, on the other side of that question that you ask or that trip that you take. And once you identify that, being able to place, you know, those ideas and those people in a very structured framework in order to create a solution. Like you might have, you know, 3,000, you know, people that you can call upon, but maybe five of those would be well suited to solve the problem that you're trying to approach, you know, and being able to sift through, you know, that information and identify those people is a skill in itself. So really being able to hone in on, you know, who has what, who has similar passions, who has similar desires, who has similar objectives that I could align myself with to solve this particular problem. So yeah, I think it's really about identifying the resources, the capacity that you have internally, but then also seeing where you can actually align yourself with your external networking group to activate them appropriately in order to achieve good results. Because the last thing that we really want to do is ask somebody to do something that's not in their will. It's not in their passion. It's not in their desire. But if you can kind of hone in on what that is that they're passionate about, and if it aligns with the solution that you're trying to solve, then I think it's a win-win synergy. And most of the time, there is good results.
Marquise, absolutely. This morning. I truly appreciate you sharing your time and your expertise with the audience. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Yeah, so you can find the World Education Foundation at theworldeducationfoundation.com. We're also on Twitter at W_E_Foundation. And yeah, I think that's where you can basically get most of the information about the projects that we're working on. So, you know, as we continue to engage in other projects, you know, we try to get out as much information and share as much information as possible with our audience to keep them updated on what we're doing around the world.
Know your why, be open for opportunities, and enjoy every lesson you learn along the way. Don't forget to reach out to Marcus Anderson at theworldeducationfoundation.com, or you can always reach him through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Marcus Anderson. Thank you once again for joining me, everyone, and until our next episode when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.